Just because you put syrup on something, don't make it pancakes. That's my brand, player. And whipped cream, was it? You know that's right. It's episode... No, it's not even an episode. It's the season 6 recap where we recap all the episodes. And it starts right about now.
I've heard it both ways.
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 And welcome back to I've Heard It Both Ways. I'm your friendly neighborhood backcracker, Dr. Joe, and riding shotgun in the blueberry with me, as always, is my podcasting partner, William Xavier Delaney III, also known as TV's Billy Delaney. This is a little different intro because this is a recap episode, which means we have guests, people, and it wouldn't be a psych or I've Heard It Both Ways recap without the rockin' Moroccan Jacob Morocco, right?
Your power bottom.
Yeah, boys, yeah. Thank you very much, as always. It's a pleasure.
But we've got a fourth guest.
Yeah, who's today, my power bottom?
Right? And making his I've Heard It Both Ways debut is our special guest. Riding in the backseat of the blueberry with us today is the Billie Jean King looking, shoulder pad suit jacket wearing, hairline receding, woo! Kelly simping, lynch leg drop loving, Luthes pressing, son of a gun, he's having a hard time holding those alligators down. Woo! Welcome to the show, Nestle. How's it going, buddy?
That was a hell of an intro. Jesus, you make everything look great. I wow.
Yeah.
How long did you work on that? I'm curious.
It took me about, I do these every week every time we do this with Billy. So I did this one right around 7:50. I started writing that down.
Impressive.
Yeah.
He's a quick study. Just ask him.
Yeah. We're quick draw McGraw. But how we doing, boys?
Loving it. Loving just, loving some psych. Always into it. Always love doing my rewatch. It was a little more on and off this time around. But it was a good time.
Yeah, it took us a little longer to get through this season just due to, various unforeseen circumstances and Billy's in high demand, people. Billy's in high demand. And so DraftKings has him going here, there, and everywhere, filming hot shots and all that. So, but I'm happy to be here. I'm happy to have Jacob. I'm happy to have Nestle. We'll see how this experiment goes. Hopefully he won't fuck things up for us.
Jacob's the one who usually does that. So
I'm usually the turn of the punch bowl. So
these things happen. Not this time though.
No, not this time.
So why don't we do this? We always like to start off with just sort of like our overall thoughts on the season, how it started, how it finished, things of that nature. So let's let Nestle kick things off because he's new to the program. And what I love the most with Nestle as he was going through the entire series was the late night sexts I would get of him just talking about various episodes and ask me where things are going. I remember at first, does this get better? And I say, yes, it does get better.
Damn.
So for that reason, I was like, we got to have him on. I want to hear your thoughts. How did you think, Nestle, that season 6 started?
So I actually, the first show, the episode with the diplomatic immunity and all that stuff, I actually thought that was kind of funny, but also kind of boring. The only part that I really thought was super awesome about it was the ending there at the first episode with the lie detector. That part with him and I don't know if it was the end, but it was the I love you thing, and then beating the lie detector test. I thought that was great because I always love Henry's one of my soft spots. I love watching him. Major League shout out, because I love that. But so that was great. But the other thing too is just you see Sean progress from a little kid to oh my God, I love this woman, which I didn't expect. And I gotta give props to Billy. Billy and I go way back, and a lot of my TV recommendations come from Billy, whether they're good or bad. And and Billy has said Psych, with the exception of Community. Community was probably better, but Psych's been amazing so far. So yeah.
Yeah. How about you, Jacob?
So this, I obviously I'm a little more familiar with the series overall, and I liked season 6 a lot more than I remember liking it, where I had the opposite. If I remember correctly, I had the opposite feeling about season 5, where I remembered liking it more than I ended up liking it on rewatch. It was really solid, though. I mean, I had a really easy time ranking the bottom episodes of season 5. I did not have an easy time doing it for this season. I mean, even the episodes that aren't that great are still solid. You know, like I watched them through. I enjoyed them. And then the best are, I mean, we'll get into it, but I mean, the best are like some of the best the show's ever produced. And we'll get into it. And this might be a spoiler, but Psych really knows how to do a finale. They really do.
Yeah, they sure do. So this is a season that for me, like the two episodes that really stand out to me are Autopsy Turvy and Last Night Gus. And then there's a whole bunch of episodes in there that I think are really solid. For me, ranking the bottom was pretty easy because after Billy and I, you know, we hand out our rankings at the end of each episode, and I had four very distinct episodes that were sub six, which very rarely happens for us. And so it was easy to rank those, but I thought the season really started off strong with, I love, Sean versus Darth Vader. Last Night Gus is a Mount Rushmore episode for me, period. This episode sucks, is great. And then we get a couple of pretty solid episodes before we start to get into a string of a couple of duds. And then things pick back up again. But overall, like, I think I had the same feeling. It was either season, I think it was season five as well, Jacob, where I was like, oh, I have much fonder memories of this season than it actually is. But I think it's because some of those standout episodes, just like in season six, stand out so much. And then you forget some of the clunkers because you're not putting them on rewatch. And there's a reason why they aren't on rewatch. But there was a couple of surprises where I was like, oh, this episode stinks. I hate it. And then we watched it again and go, oh shit, I actually kind of like it.
Yeah, True Grits was definitely one of those ones for me. The love, it's cool. Set him free. Like that scene alone is worth everything. And then the season to me had like three of my all-time favorites, probably two Mount Rushmore episodes for me. Autopsy Turvy is one of my all-time favorites. Whip Chatterley, one of the greatest. And then Last Night Gus, obviously, you guys all had one. My one was right smack dab in the middle, Neil Simon's Lover's Retreat. That episode just has so many funny one-liners to me, like, stop saying the hotel is sorry for our loss, unless it's the Overlook Hotel or Monster House. It is not a person. Like, there's so many things like, I am not a child. And then the key lime pie.
Do you like the picture I sent you the other day?
Yeah. It's great. So, like, this season had... I go back to this season and season 7 and 8 to watch specific episodes almost more than any other season because, you know, there are some real clunkers in those seasons, but like the highs are the highs, like of all time highs.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. Like, I think 6, 7, 8 are great for if you're in the mood for a specific episode, whereas maybe seasons 2, 3, 4, 5, and more specifically 3, 4, 5. You can just put the first episode on, just sort of let it roll and kind of have it go on in the background. And I think there's a much higher batting average there. But in terms of how this particular season ended, because towards the end, you know, episodes, you know, let me just take a quick look here.
They were a lot better than I remembered because.
Yeah, but there was
some. The Real Girl was better than I remembered. Let's Do Up Again was better than I remembered. True Grits wound up being like a hidden gem. Like there's a couple of really funny lines in there. And then it finished with Santa Barbara Town, which we all loved.
Yeah. Like Indiana Jones, I really did not like. I did not like Nobody Lop Again. Right.
Maybe and Nessa liked it.
So I had a couple of those sprinkled in there, but you had Autopsy Turvy, True Grits, Santa Barbara Town. Here's Lassie, Sean and the Real Girl. Like those were like, you know, end of the, you know, season's episodes. And most of those are absolute fantastic. Here's Lassie. And I think Santa Barbara Town are two of like are very close to perfection in terms of episodes, the way they're constructed and creating suspense and the storytelling and all that. So I thought it ended strong. I thought it started strong and I thought the middle was pretty solid as well.
The overall good.
Yeah. Good. Nestle.
Yes.
Jacob. Mm. How'd you guys think the season ended?
Pretty strong. I mean,
awkward pause.
You're talking. I was trying to figure out who wanted to go first. I mean, I was a little bit softer on Let's Do Op It Again than you guys were. Mm-hmm. I thought. I mean, I'm a sucker for some Jaleel White. Autopsy Turvy. I mean, Santa Barbara Town. They speak for themselves. True Grits was good. I don't really remember liking it as much as you know as I did. It was. I mean, Anthony Anderson kind of can't complain. But just Autopsy Turvy and Santa Barbara Town. I mean, that's basically enough to. I mean, two of those last. Three of the season. I mean, that's pretty that's pretty unassailable. I mean, we'll get to here's Lassie later on, because I think we disagree quite a bit on that episode. But two of the last three being two of the best episodes the show's ever done, I mean, you can't really complain about that.
Yeah, how about you, Nestle?
I'll be honest, I'm not a big fan of True Grits, so it is what it is. But no, I did like the Veronica Town episode. I thought that was great. I'm obviously, we'll talk about the way that it ended and stuff, but that was when I first watched that, my initial reaction was like I was convulsing on the couch. I was like, are you what? And I think I texted you. I'm like, you know, don't spoil it, but am I gonna be okay?
Oh, right.
And then so, like, you know, because I had like a moment of like, am I gonna continue to watch the shit? Because Henry was my favorite. And I like, you know, spoiler alert for all of us, I'm sure, but Woody is such a dynamic character that the autopsy turvy thing, like, to me was just like, I love that episode because when side characters get kind of like the main character treatment, they get the shine. And I think, you know, even when I watched the finale and seeing everybody saying like, oh, Woody's our favorite, whatever. So like, everybody loves Woody, you know, and yeah, it's great to see him get an episode where he's the focus. So that one like stood out specifically for me, because those one-liners are great, but also just like you add in French Stewart, and then like I was just like head scratching on the 1940s dance stuff. Like I was just like, you never know what people are into, but it's very odd. And that the fact that it's written in the show is very odd too. But
you wouldn't want to bury your face into a nice bosom.
Of course,
you wouldn't want to trip the light fantastics with one of these alluring and voluptuous women.
Have you watched any of the movies, Nestle?
Not yet. No, I'm saving.
So if you love Woody, then you're going to, especially the second movie.
Okay.
You're really going to love Woody. Yeah, he's absolutely the best. Little creme fraiche. Yeah.
I haven't seen Gloria Estefan live in concert yet.
So now we like to talk about some of the characters and you know, which character sort of, we always sort of talk about this as sort of which character grew the most, especially like in the early seasons as they're trying to find their footing and sort of grow into their roles a bit. And I took a different approach on this topic this season than the rest of you guys did. And I don't disagree with you 100%, because I think the character arc that Sean took this season was, for his character, astronomical from the start and finish of the first episode, let alone where we get throughout the season and where things end. But I went at sort of a different route, and I went with Gus, you know, because his character changed, not in like a sort of a growth kind of thing, but they sort of changed who Gus is a little bit, I thought, right? Gus has always been, you know, the sidekick, and at times he's he can definitely have his goofy side and the things he likes to nerd out on. But there's always been a bit more of a serious side to Gus. This season, I think they really just sort of laid into, you know, silly Gus, right? Especially like with the food obsession, the candy obsession, you know, things like that. And so I liked seeing sort of a different side of Gus this entire season. And I think from here on out, right, who Gus is, for, you know, he's trying to get a girl. Doesn't happen, you know, he fails at that.
Hardcore player Gus, like bounce, 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 bounce.
Yeah, yeah. And just and I love the food obsession stuff, because I think that always leads to a lot of good gags and a lot of good jokes. But that's who I went with, because I thought, like, just for him, they kind of turned his character, not a complete 180, but they turned that dial up a notch on him.
Yeah, I mean, I went with Sean. Same reason kind of Nestle talked about earlier. Like, he went from a guy who was a total, like, goof, really, to ready to almost be in kind of a committed relationship by bringing the ring. He dials it back, and we kind of get into that more in the next season. But, you know, he's the main character of the show, despite, you know, everybody else playing some pretty big roles. And for the most part, they're kind of dialed into who they are. But I thought, like, the storytelling with Sean, like, as Nestle pointed out with the lie detector thing, that non-lie of him admitting he loves her, it's great.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not sure if I'll get to mention it again, but I do want to know. I do love, in that season premiere, the flashback coming at the end. That's always, I always forget that happens.
Oh, right. Yeah, because they really did do a lot of flashbacks.
And it totally would have undercut. And also, let's shout out Skylar Gisondo, as young Sean.
He's gone on to have a pretty good career.
He's had quite a good. He's playing Jimmy Olsen in the Superman.
That's right.
If I'm not mistaken,
he's probably the biggest actor the show's had. Like he's in like a I mean, besides like guest stars.
Hold on now.
Are you saying after Psych? Are you saying after Psych?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, definitely after Psych.
Yeah, because Dula Hill.
I mean, this kid's at like Corbin Burnson level. I mean, kind of like that's a big thing.
Beforehand, Dula Hill was in the West Wing. Like
that's true.
He's, he had quite the career too.
I'll have you know that Woody was in No Holds Barred with Hulk Hogan.
True. He's also in Wayne's World. Woody, oh yeah, he Woody, was.
He was the bad. He was Vince McMahon.
Oh, that's right.
Woody also played a killer on Monk.
That's true.
Yes, he was a he committed a DUI, a drunk drive, a drunk hit and run, like 15 years before. It's a great episode. Anyway, so I wrote down surprising pick to be revealed. I want to have a little suspense. I could have gone with Sean because Sean did grow quite a bit. You guys made some really salient points about Sean, but a bit of a hot take. I'm gonna go Henry here actually because Henry, you know, we see him in season 5 and he's really reticent to give Sean cases as the consultant. Overseer.
That's the Henry Prick of the Year award.
Yeah, exactly. and this season he's a little more receptive to it, but I think really Santa Barbara Town, which I don't want to get too much into right now, but I think it really shows his growth as a character, and you see him, Sean, really starting to respect him a lot more as an honest cop, mm-hmm. somebody who really kind of was stuck by his values, and Sean really grows to respect him. That, you know, the line about getting a beer at the end, that still gets me all the time. Mm. I think Henry just demonstrated a lot of growth. We call him the Prick of the Year award. Like, I mean, there's, you know.
It is funny, though, because I don't know if you guys, how closely you followed the podcast, but when we started it, Joe didn't like Henry at all. Like, and he had seen the whole show, and he's like, this guy's always a prick. And then he realized that he is Henry, and he grew to love him. He dresses the same. He's just crotchety and old. Like, he is Henry.
You wear Hawaiian shirts and yell at your daughter?
Yeah. No. I do have Hawaiian shirts. I don't yell at my daughter so much, but, you know, I have had some Henry-like moments with her. You know, like the way he would treat Sean. And, you know, you got to figure it out, kid. Come on. Right? I expect better of you. Yeah. You know? I haven't given her my Swiss yet, though. I do have a Swiss, but I'm going to hold on to that for a little while.
You still carry your Swiss? I thought you were going to do that.
Well, why is this so much bigger than mine?
Well, we got Billy. You got to have like a sounder for an out of season alert because we just did an out of season reference.
We have a couple of times.
Yeah. Mm. And then Nestle, went with Shot. So was it strictly that episode for you?
Nestle? Oh no, no. Yeah. It was a whole thing, the whole season. I think we kind of went over it, so I don't want to, beat a dead horse here, but I think looking at it from a perspective, from a storytelling standpoint, you look at it from the first episode, screaming at the top of his lungs like I love her, and then seeing Juliet be like, oh, this is news to me, I love it, and then thinking about what it takes to go from being in love to then thinking about what it takes to actually put, obviously it was his grandmother's ring, but putting the idea in his head that he's gonna want to marry that person, that's a giant leap, because you can love somebody, right? But you don't necessarily want to marry that person. And people have been there, But in between that, there's a couples retreat. That's like, that's a big deal when you're in a relationship, right? You think about that aspect of it as well. And then let me see, make sure that I said the other part. Let me see, Sean. Well, whatever. But yeah, we talked about a lot of it. It was a lot of great stuff and maturity that he didn't necessarily have in any other episode. So I was just pleased to see that because it shows growth, right? And I thought when I was looking at that, when you said growth, that was what immediately jumped out on the page for me.
Slumber party, nudie time, drinky drinky. That's just my out of office reply. I wish I worked at a company where I could have that as my out of office reply.
You couldn't do that NBC, Billy. That's not for sure.
To your point, Nestle, he goes within 7 episodes from we've only known each other 4 months, why are we going to move in together, to storing a ring inside of a Nintendo DS, which is one, which is an honorable mention gag for me that I didn't include, but as a lover, I'm such a stan for the Nintendo DS, one of the greatest systems ever made. I stand by it. And what other game system can double as a ring compartment? Mm. Not many.
Maybe a Game Boy, but that's still Nintendo. But Sega Saturn, or was it Sega? What was the Sega handheld one?
All right, but that would be like she would know. Like, why do you?
Oh, Sega Game Gear, right?
Game Gear. I had the Game Gear.
Road Rash, Game Gear.
Yeah. Sorry, you're right though, Jacob. You're absolutely right. So I'll just bend the knee there.
Damn right you will. So before we get on to our awards, I sort of alluded to this earlier. Like our season, ranking, we do it, out of pineapples, 8 pineapples, because there's 8 seasons of Psych. And so I just took the average of all my scores, and it came out to like 6.95. So let's round that fucker up to 7, which feels about right. But Jake and Billy, you guys also gave it a 7. What was your reasoning?
So for me, I like how Doc tees up two people at once.
Yeah, well, I'm just gonna let you guys fucking fight for it.
It's like when the Joker breaks the pool cue and
fight for it. Yeah, I'll go first on this one just quickly because I've kind of already said it. The highs were all time highs for me. Like literally, my favorite episodes are in here. Not my all time favorite episode. My all time is Shaun 2.0, followed closely by Cogblocked, and then I would say it comes to the episodes in this season, and then. I say 10 episodes in this season are highly rewatchable.
Yeah.
Six kind of stink, but like three of them are like beautiful masterpieces of psych. So we rate basically on a scale of like 5.9 to 8. So like
you really got to stink if you get a 5.5 from me, you know. What about you, Jacob?
Yeah, I gave it a like you said, Doc, gave it a 7. Very straightforward. No, sometimes I waver on these. Sometimes, you know, I think last season I gave it a 6, 6.5, whatever. But this was straight up 7. You know, very few lows. Like Billy said, you know, most of these episodes are rewatchable. Even the ones that aren't are still fine. And there's only a couple stinkers, but I mean, for season 6 of a show, that's a pretty good hit rate. It's a great batting average, slugging percentage, OPS, everything. So yeah, I think 7 is a pretty fair score. But Nestle, on the other hand, a little bit harsher.
Yeah, Jordy LaForge.
Listen.
You could see your visor on.
This is my if you watch the Jabba Knocker podcast, quick shout out. I do that all the time.
Everybody so
yeah.
Drink.
Yeah, there you go. So got the rep. Go get a tpublic.com/JabbaKnocker. Get your shit today. So listen, for me, I'm a contrarian, obviously. That's just in my nature, my blood. Billy knows that, Doc knows that. Jacob, you'll be akin to it very quickly. So for me, I'll be honest, there were certain parts in this episode. Sorry, this season that I was just like, oh my God, this episode sucks. I love because I'm a huge Buffy guy. Like, that is like, when I saw that, I was like, this is amazing. You know what I mean? Like that and all the callbacks to other things. But even some of the bad episodes, or I would say meh episodes is probably more like it. There were still redeemable things that made me laugh. There were great gags. There were different things that I loved. I'm not a huge fan of William Shatner because I think he's a one trick pony. So that episode to me automatically dragged it down. The fact that she's, you know, Juliet's related to her. That's her father. I get the comparison with the con man and Sean. That's great. I wish they'd pick somebody else, right? The one at the end, which I think was my least favorite, which was it Tao of Gus? Is that what it was called?
Tao, excuse me.
Yeah. That one to me was the worst one of the season, in my opinion. I do like Oswald from Drew Carey, but the rest of it just felt like it was kind of stupid. And there were kind of things like that where I'll be honest with myself. I'll call myself on the carpet. There were nitpicky things because I'm nitpicky Nestle. Where I was just like, you know what, that ruined it for me. And in a normal human being, that wouldn't really bother people. So I gave it a solid 6. That's still relatively high, but you know, it's like a B.
You know, so I didn't enjoy it. Watching Community Bloomers.
I was.
There are a couple of good moments from almost every episode, including that one. But I think In for a Penny does suck. But I do love, and it's one of my favorite bits. Like, they kind of do it in Scrubs at one point too. But when he holds up the dime and he's like, what would you give me for this baby? He's like, I don't know, 10 pennies? Maybe just a different dime? 2 nickels? Like,
the other one. Was it? Yeah, the other one.
Yeah. Like, that stuff. Like, there's always at least something in almost every episode that makes you chuckle.
Yeah. But if, you know, for especially In for a Penny, like, Shatner was so fucking
bad. He sucks.
The whole thing, that whole episode. It was the first time I think I've had some bad scores for some psych episodes before, but I think I didn't hold back. I just laid into that one. It was just fucking terrible.
I've got some things to say about that episode, as you guys can see on the document. So I'll just wait until it has its moment in the sun.
So does anybody have any more thoughts before we jump into our awards here?
Suki is mine.
whoa, Cagney, okay? This is just an act.
It's a classic man and animal move.
Charlatan.
He will drink you like a...
Hey, Woody, you're not on cocaine. All right. So speaking of Woody, we are going to go to the Buzz Award. This is our favorite side character. And Jacob, I am going to let you lead this one off.
I mean, I just wrote, do I even need to write it? I mean, it's like when they gave Walter Payton Man of the Year Award like 2 years, and like the first 2 years ever existed, and then ended up renaming it for him.
Right.
Like, I mean... The fact it's still called the Buzz Award, Buzz should be honored because he lost this award like 4 years ago or three.
He lost this award once fucking Woody. It should be the Woody Award at this point.
It should be renamed. I mean, come on. I mean, he has how many shows like this build an entire hour long episode around a side character? Basically, I mean, it doesn't happen very often. And that's because Woody Strode is very much strong enough to carry his own episode. Obviously, Sean and Gus are big into it, but I mean, Woody's just phenomenal, man. I mean, his delivery, his the way he interacts with Sean and Gus.
Teach me the notes.
He is. if Psych, I think this isn't really a hot take, but if Psych was on now, I think you would have had a Peacock like spinoff with Woody by himself.
Oh, I've told 100%.
Three people to watch this show that are not in this group right now, obviously, and they always, when Woody comes in, are like, Woody's the best. Oh, yeah. He is on par, and I know Andy Bernard took a steep dive, but as one of the greatest character additions to a show, he fits like a glove. Like, it's unbelievable.
Yeah. What were some of your favorite Woody moments, Nestle?
Well, I got to tell you, I almost spit out my water when I was watching. I almost spit on my poor wife when we were watching it together, because when he says, come back to bed, Peaches, I could not, and then just the fact that he was like, throughout the entire like series, he's just that weird dude, right? Like, anybody that does that kind of line of work kind of has to be off the rocker just a little bit, but they turned it up to like 11. And then, like, you know, like Jacob said, just building an entire episode around a side character proves everybody's point. And like I said, just like seeing he can play the dumb guy and do the stupid shit and all that, whatever. But like at the same time, he was still believable in that, you know, Autopsy Turvy episode where he was actually, you know, in peril. Because he's a lover. He really is at the core of a human being. He is a lover, not a fighter. And then to have that woman, you know, just like, I think her name was Grace, right? So she was holding him, you know, like hostage essentially. And like just that whole episode was just like, there are obviously other things about, you know, last night Gus that are just like hysterical on just like on steroids. He had some great beats in there. But those two really, those things stood out to me because I just felt like, this was a season for me when I've always cheered for him, but this was a season where I was like, you know, this is where the guy gets his flowers. And I was really proud to see that as a fan.
Yeah.
And one quick thing I just want to throw in there also, actually two quick things. One, this is not a side character that's like a bar patron or like somebody you see at the shop. This is a corner. Like, this is not an inherently funny position to be in. And he's somehow still one of the funniest characters in the show. Second of all, one of my favorite lines that he has all season is in this episode sucks. When they have the body in front of them and Juliet's like, don't you dare say that this is the result of a vampire. And he was like, I would never even imagine it. What do you think this is? I would absolutely 100%, no doubt. He's so good.
What makes Woody so great is that, again, it's like with Sean, right? It's the delivery and the conviction of what they're saying. And I love more than anything when Woody says something and he's so fucking wrong, and then he's immediately corrected, and he goes, and then he'll just be like, "Oh yeah, I guess so." You know, like, what was the last episode in Santa Barbara?
Now that seeing it, I like your take better. Like, it's always like
shit like that, right? And it's his delivery, and there could be an episode where he only has two lines in it, and they fucking kill it, right? Mm. They're just perfect. They're just spot on, and he's, you know, he's gregarious, he's over the top, but he doesn't like ever make you feel like you pull back a little bit. It's always like it's just right, and that's what makes him so great.
To everybody's point too, like, he's sparingly used, he's a coroner, he's not the typical, like, as you said, crazy side character that's the bar patron. He's the coroner, and I bet even if you took the time out of Autopsy Turvy, he'd be like Beetlejuice-esque in Beetlejuice 1, where I bet you he only has like 6 minutes of screen time, maybe seven in a 42-minute episode. But when he's on the screen, because normally he's probably on for what, 90 seconds, 2 minutes, 3 minutes, like doubling, tripling his screen time, like isn't even like dominating the episode. It's amazing. Like they don't overuse him. They use him so perfectly. And when they do make him the main character, it was done so well. It just fit perfectly. And that is an episode that I will always watch for many reasons. But Woody in that episode, that is fresh. Like, everything he says is hilarious.
You look like a big old Gerber baby.
You move your lips when you read. Every line's delivered perfectly.
But it's even the little things, like in Last Night Gus, when like Lassie gets upset, he's like, stop breathing down my neck. He's like, that's just how I breathe. And just,
oh, my favorite, one of my favorite moments. I think I got rid of the clip, but it's when he's like, when they bring out the pinata, when I don't think there is going to be a pinata. And he just like dead face goes, I was told this was a party. Like, like the delivery of like, I was told this was like, I always want to be able to do that at a party. It's just be like, when they bring out the pinata.
And he says it so seriously. There's just like a stern look on his face, which is, oh man. I
was told this was funny.
You got to watch the Psych movies because I think it's the second movie, right, Billy, where he's sort of he's trying to impersonate the Spanish doctor. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he's got the little fedora. Oh, mm-hmm. That is like some grade A, like that. You want to talk about over the top Woody? That is the one to watch.
And then next season too in Santa Barbara Town, it's a small gag. But he just keeps bringing the body bag to the hospital. And then he brings two when they're about to get blown up for Sean and Gus.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, I did too. Oh, man. Fantastic. So speaking of, autopsy turvy, we have the Goochberg Award. Now, before we dive into this, Nestle, I want your thoughts on the character of Goochberg. Way back from season two, she was paired up with Lassie, the tough old broad. You remember Goochberg?
A little, but I'll be honest with you, it's not something that I'm excited about. Like I'm trying to think, I'm like trying to rack my brain. Is she the old lady?
She's mm-hmm. the old broad. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Into the face.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. There's something about it. Like I was not a fan.
I knew you wouldn't like
it. I'm not a fan of it.
You strike he strikes me. Who's the broad in the episode there with Lou Diamond Phillips? The woman that we don't like.
Oh, Lindsay Lycan?
I bet Ness is a big Lindsay Lycan.
I mean, I think everybody's a fan of her like work. Maybe not on that episode.
I mean, but I named this award because I absolutely love Goochberg, and this is our favorite guest star. And we had a bunch. I mean, I'm pretty sure
that got early onset. What is it? Retinos pigment dystosa. Like her, yeah. Like crazy maladies. Like every time she went to go do something, she couldn't do it because she had like a weird injury from before.
You're shooting the wrong person, Goochberg. You know. Anyway, so like this season, I think there was pretty much a guest star in every episode. You know, starting with Malcolm McDowell. Mm-hmm. And some were great. William Shatner, not so fucking great. But I think now Billy and I are in strong agreement here. Jake and Nestle have a couple of different ones. So let's start with them. Nestle, who was your favorite guest star from season six?
I just popped hard. Like when I saw Ed Lover, I was just like, come on, son. Like when they do it so much and then to have him in a fever dream of it was just like, it came out of nowhere. Like some of these things, they're automatically part of the show, right? You wouldn't see that. It wasn't the first thing in the show, right? It wasn't like the first mm-hmm. 5 minutes of the show where they go to a shop where their French steward's there, right? It was like just out of nowhere. And for me, and because of what they do throughout the seasons with it all, and then the fact that he had the chain, and then like, that's good enough, right? And then Henry drops the "Who's Ed Lover" line, and they're like, they just whip around and they're just like, you know what I mean? Like, we're sorry. You know, like,
for my entire dad's life.
Yeah. Like, all of that makes it worth it for me. Like, there are a lot of great ones. I could have picked anything. I could throw a dart and, like, there's so many that I loved. But that was such an unexpected mm-hmm. joy as a fan watching that I just had to write it in.
Yeah, that was a great, like, callback, shout-out, like, Easter egg for, like, people who've been watching the show for a long time. And that's my brand, player.
You know, you swept my ultra bright when I was out there on the dance floor.
Getting my freak on. How about you, Jacob? Who'd you go with?
So my honorable mention was Max Gale as Jerry Karp. Doesn't even have a Wikipedia page, Max Gale.
Jesus.
I put him on honorable mention because he's only in one scene, basically. I mean, it's cut in between Sean realizing what's mm-hmm. going on. But he's basically only in one scene. But he is really good in that one scene. He's obviously probably going to also be on this list next season, spoiler alert. But I went with Tony Hale as Jerry Kincaid in Neil Simon's Lover's Retreat. He's, as I said to Billy last night, no Tony Hale slander shall escape these lips. He is one of the greatest. He's one of the greatest. One of my favorite people to watch on television, like ever. I mean, Veep, Arrested Development, first three seasons are canon. Just want to put that out there. Different show, but only the first three seasons count. Veep, obviously incredible. He's just always on fire when he's on screen. And his the sunburn, I'll shoot you all in your stupid faces. He's just great. I mean, I gotta go with Tony Hale. It was a tough one though. There were a lot of good guest stars. I know he's in the a much maligned episode of this season, but shout out to Miles Fisher, who is probably the most like he looks like somebody else guy in the world, even though he doesn't look like anybody else. He's not really in anything.
Who's Miles Fisher?
The Mantis.
Oh yeah, yeah. He's like just like your like, generic.
He looks Anthony. Like Dave Franco, but isn't Dave Franco. He looks like Adam Brody, but he's not Adam Brody. But he was pretty solid in a not so great episode. But I got to give it to Tony Hale.
Yeah, and then Billy and I went with Whip Chatterley. I mean,
Cream was it? When he introduces himself to Henry and just goes, "I'm Whip Chatterley," like that fucking kills me. And like all of his little like book notes and stuff. And oh, the one night I was sleeping. Damn you, circadian rhythms.
I thought about for a real hot second, putting the guy, I can't remember the actor's name now. He's like, it's like you take a plum, pull it from a tree, and put it straight into a cake. Yeah. Like, he was great. Yeah, see, my accent is offensive. Your accent is offensive.
Like, Bud from Cosby.
That whole scene, that whole episode, like, he was so great because he went from, like, you know, the over enthusiastic like fanboy to then like I'm really freaked out, and then you know what happens to him at the end of that. But that was again such a well executed episode as well. Like
that was a little more Tim Robinson than French Stewart. I'm not gonna lie.
Would it be bottom line if we made a stop at Arby's? Oh, no, that's happening for sure.
But so that Whip was he was great, and then we've got the Long Branch Penny Whistle Award for favorite nickname. And this is, I think, my all-time favorite Gus nickname, and that's Fellatio Del Toro.
I once said this in a team meeting to be funny. Went over like a lead balloon, I'll tell you that. mine's Brutal Hustler. I think that's from the Despero episode where it's like what they put on the plaque.
Oh, right.
And and Sean's like, he didn't change it. He's like, I'm not mad at it. Like,
how about you, Nestle?
Not surprising here. Shah Dynasty. When it's SH top comma, like that's God's comma. Like it's not even the Shah Dynasty. It's the explanation of the top comma. It's the God's comma. Like I just there's no way I could even think of anything better than that.
Anytime he's involved in the nickname, when he's like, this is my personal candy striper knickknack. Hello, he's from Guam. Like anytime he has like a little bit like the emotation or you come with the bee's face, like that's anytime he's involved, like the control alt delete and he does the like are always the best ones.
If we get to tell tales out of season, I gotta always reference my favorite Gus input on a nickname, which is, this is my partner, Blue Ivy. Still one of my favorites. Still just one of the best. So I wanted to be a little different. I don't know about you guys, but I feel like this season was pretty light on the nicknames.
It was. Light on the nicknames, light on the traditional psych gags in general.
Yeah, so I wanted to be a little different and use probably the only good thing from In for a Penny, which is Ingle Woods. Which is pretty good. I forgot that one was in there. I remember some of the other ones, but I mean, I think if I had to pick from any of these, I think Brutal Hustler is probably Brutal Hustler is like a Madden name that you would put to like a creative player.
I think it was a Madden name.
Yeah. So, there
you go. In fact, all of these have been my Madden team name people.
I'll tell you what, Long Branch Petty Whistle was a hell of a fucking run.
Sure it was.
Oh no, that was Lodge Blackman. He was the
one. It was Lodge Blackman, but Long Branch Petty Whistle probably played somewhere.
This is a really, really quick aside, but I used to do on our sports trivia, I used to make up names for That Can't Be Real. And one of the ones I made up, I ended up making into a quarterback on Madden. His name was Downtown Simon Brown.
That's pretty good.
That was just his full name was Downtown Simon Brown. He was a quarterback. He was a beast too.
So the Blueberry Award, the best gag. And this season was, you know, it was funny because I look back and I remember doing notes for some of these episodes and going, there wasn't like any real iconic moments. But then you go back, you go, well, actually there were quite a few. And for me, I think some of it comes from Last Night Gus. A lot of it comes from Last Night Gus. But when they first wake up in the morning and you see just fucking Lassie emerge from the blankets on the couch with Woody, and they, those two just wake up and then being like freaked out, like that just gives me the absolute giggles every time I see it. But also Sean on speed from Dead Man's Curve. That's I love that. And it's my wife's favorite scene when when he hears like the birds chirping, he just grabs the binoculars, and it's just that quick, sudden like ADHD twist, you know, where he's looking to see what's going on. I've never heard her. I don't know why she loves it so much, but she fucking cackles at that. But Sean on speed is not something I thought I needed, but absolutely enjoyed.
No, I agree. Mine is all the whip callbacks to that came from a book and blah, 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 blah. Mainly because it's the first time he does it. It sets up the time where the gear pedals of a tractor had been adjusted to fit a little person. And then Sean hits him with a, you're saying the dwarf is still at large? like to work that joke in, it's just beautiful.
Absolutely fantastic. How about you, Nestle?
I think mine was just, this is a very, very small thing for me, but I love random things. And so when I was watching Sean Interrupted, when they were talking about Bernie having a fear of saxophones and like having an irrational fear of that, I was just like, how are they going to do that? And then when they parlayed it at the end as using Kenny G as a weapon to distract somebody, and then that happens and there's whole thing and they're just sitting there and they're doing their thing. And then when, you know, Juliet and you know, Lassiter are coming, they're like, we're not going to stop. Like, this is the best part. This is my favorite part. Like, while other things are going on, that just like, again, I'm always surprised, and I shouldn't be, but I thoroughly enjoy the aspect of watching the show and thinking to myself, how are they going to call back to that? How are they going to make that little nugget a really big laugh later on? It could be a season from now. It could be directly in 5 minutes. But Kenny G wasn't even in my remote like brain.
Right.
Because I was just thinking saxophone, it could have been anything, right? But the fact that they went to Kenny G, which is the stupidest thing you could do.
Yeah.
And it just works.
And you like Kenny G a little? Well, this song, I ain't mad at it either.
And the best though, I forgot the way Gus is dancing in the
back. With the gun.
Yeah.
So
good.
Yeah. So I had a couple options here.
I laughed out loud when I read your first one.
Yeah, I know.
I figure if Doc could put essentially the entirety of Last Night Guts, I could get away with a few. I mentioned I Am Not Your Mother, which just I forgot about that line, and it really got me when he said it, which is like, because Sean's just messing with him. It's obviously Sean knows that line, but it is just funny that he did that. The bull mastiff tattoo gets me. This. I mean, it's the stupidest gag, but it's just so fun. That's my grandma. Well, I'm sure she was a wonderful lady. She's still alive.
Shout out to Joey McIntyre, by the way.
Oh, yeah, dude, completely out of the blue. But, I mean, speaking of Last Night, guys, I had a shout out. Maybe my favorite line of the season, which comes from a character we haven't even mentioned yet, which is Chief Vic, when they're in the room talking about the case, and Gus is trying to talk to, through the bag, trying to talk to oh my God, I can't remember her name, but the killer accomplice.
The shorty.
The shorty. He with, listen, Mr. Guster, we're all happy that you can manage to captivate the honeys. Right now, you're on my side.
Actually, no, I'm on my side.
She enunciates the honeys, just knocks me out every time.
I forgot about that. That was fantastic. That episode is so fucking good.
As the kids say, it is goated.
It is goated. So this one, this next one is the damn girl, right? And we renamed this after we saw Juliet in that red dress in season four. The most surprising moment, and I think Nestle and I fucking agree on something for once. So holy smokes. But there were some really great moments that I think really kind of came out of this season. Billy, what did you start with? Or what did you have, I should say?
So Henry Pantsless at the hotel.
Oh, that's your favorite moment?
Oh, no. Surprising. No, that's surprising.
Yeah.
Surprising.
Oh, sorry. Surprising. It was actually Whip dying.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't think, like, you know, obviously I tried to stay away from the one that everybody had, but the fact that they would kill Whip, like the guest star, I just assumed he was going to be the killer when I watched the episode, right?
Yeah.
And the fact that they killed him, I thought was, to me, like, okay, like this show does a really good job of writing every episode, I think. It's very thoughtful. I always say you can fix something with a few pen strokes in any form of media, whether it be TV. You know, I always hated some certain wrestling storylines, like, because you could just fix something by just writing something in. And this show is very thoughtful with everything that it does. And I thought killing a character like Whip, you know, obviously they had that going in, but I just thought that was a nice little like twist to that plot.
Yeah, because what they could have done, right, is very easily just had him tied up or put him in a perilous situation, mm-hmm. and the guy save him and he still lives, and you could still have the ending that you had to that episode, mm-hmm. Without killing him. I think this is the first. Is this the first time we had a guest star die, right, on the show?
Yeah, that wasn't like the victim that was, right, like part of the storyline till the end, probably.
Yeah, and the other great part about this is that French Stewart tweeted at us about, yeah, this. We talked about the show, which was great. And apparently, a woman that must have been his wife was also a big, mm-hmm. fan, tweeting at us. But yeah, that was, I didn't see that coming, because what they did in that episode, which was, they made you think he was the killer, and then not the killer, and then, oh shit, maybe he's the killer again. Because usually when you have the creepy weirdo guest star, they're generally the killer. So I thought the red herrings in there were absolutely fantastic.
Well, hold on, Doc, I do need to say rest in peace to Mary Lightly.
Oh right, yep. Jesus, can't forget about Mary Lightly.
Yeah, 401 out for Mary.
Yeah,
he does come back a few times though.
Yep. You got a question, Nestle?
No. I was just pouring one out, my invisible.
Oh, okay.
Because he was doing it. I got it. It's not the same. I would have poured this on my lap, and then
it would have been. So don't even get me started on Chad Michael Murray. There I go.
Speaking of, I'm going to C2E2 in Chicago, and Chad Michael Murray's going to be there. Mm. So I can yell obscenities at him. But Jake, you had an interesting one here for most surprising moment.
I did. It was a Despero episode not being good. I'm only kidding. Mm. Although that is surprising, because the previous ones have been pretty damn good. No, I was just kidding. It's Henry getting shot.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not really. I know Doc and Nestle, spoiler, have the same one. But I was also surprised. Well, I think I watched this episode live, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I did too.
And I will give them a lot of credit, because this is, you know, I don't want to spoil the great television drama Monk for anybody. But they do a similar thing in Monk at the end of season 7, where they shoot Monk and he falls off the pier. But part 2 is the next episode. It's not a cliffhanger between seasons. This is ballsy stuff to do.
And it looked like he got shot in the heart. Yeah, he got shot like top left.
And it was point blank range.
Yeah,
point blank. Nobody comes back from that. You know.
Yeah. No. Except Henry Spencer does.
Well, he's barrel chested, right?
Yeah, he's going bold.
It must be the Hawaiian T-shirt, Kevlar.
Also, when we get the No Country for Two Old Men with the guy from Arrested Development, what's his name?
Jeffrey Tambor.
Jeffrey Tambor, who was up there with Woody as like one of the greatest like deadpan actors of all time, and he references like he was wearing a bulletproof vest in the episode. He's like, "You took one from Point Blank range. I don't have your strength." Like, so like they always call back in this show. It's just something I love.
Yeah, that moment for me. I remember again, like Jake said, watching this episode live, and then just being holy shit, and I couldn't wait, you know, for, you know, the next season to start, because you want to know what happens and try. And at that time, shit wasn't streaming and it took forever to put the stuff out on DVD. So it was like no way to really sort of rewatch it until, you know, you could start getting them on streaming. And I watched this episode a ton. I love everything about it. I love the music, the layering of the storytelling and all of that. And the way that ended was, to me, probably one of the biggest oh shit moments in this show's history. It was, you know,
it's the biggest, definitely.
Yeah, absolutely fantastic. But with that, we'll say, you know,
I don't know if it's the biggest so far. I don't know if it's the biggest though.
My Tony Romo went, I don't know, Jake. I don't know. We'll see. But speaking of Henry, we have our best Henry moment category here. And Again, Nestle and I agree on a great many things here when it comes to Henry, because I think Henry is our spirit animal, especially the older we get. But the Neil Simon's Lover Retreat, right? Henry in that episode specifically, where he's at the grocery store and he's buying his Hawaiian shirts at the fucking grocery store, and then just any interaction he has with Chelsea, because she's
Chelsea, dude. That's who.
She was a fucking spitfire in that episode, and just the fact that Henry's trying to avoid her, and she's just fucking hunting him down. I'll find you, right? You know, from from Wedding Crashers. It was just so, it was just so fucking good. But
Sean Connery, Terry Bradshaw,
yeah,
James Chaney.
But the fact that he was buying his Hawaiian shirts, like 2-for-1 or whatever it was, at the grocery store, it's a great bargain. It was just
and you and your shirts got a big weekend planned. that's a line directly from Adam Nessel.
I would absolutely say that to somebody. I absolutely. Who dresses you? The state, right, Billy? Like this is.
That's who it. Shot the couch when somebody wears like a terribly patent or the drapes? I still use that. That's a great one.
Yeah. She got. Yeah, that dress she was wearing. She looked like she got in a fight with it with a whole. It's a whole thing. Oh man.
But Nestle, you too had children. Why did you like Henry? You know, from this episode.
So it's not necessarily, you know, this episode is centered around the retreat, really. But I always love the B and C storylines of things, especially in sitcoms, when that the A story carries the show. But I think like these characters specifically with Henry, Lassiter and Gus, they don't necessarily always get a chance to just be on their own kind of path and journey. So I love all three of these people. So when they like could come together and do something, it's really special. And like the supermarket thing's funny, but to me, it's the okay, I bet I can get a number, right? And yeah. I think that to me is like, okay, when that popped into my head, I'm like, okay, well, Lassiter can't, he couldn't attract, you know, a woman with $100 in his fucking fly. Like, it's just not happening. And then, you know, Gus is just, you know, Mr. fucking, you know, Pluto and whatever. And like, you know, he's going to, I thought he was going to end up with like a drag queen or something, which would have been funny too.
But, oh, that.
You know, something like that would have been hilarious. But then like, I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, okay, Henry's like an attractive older dude. They make the jokes over the years of like, you know, he could still pull and then like, he's still banging his ex-wife and shit. And all, like, he's a stud. He's an old stud. He's like, but he's the SS Henry, right? He's just fucking doing his thing. And then when Chelsea happens, it's like he doesn't know. And then the barbecue, I'm just like,
oh yeah,
we've all been there. We've all what been there where you're just like,
with? A 40 and then like 5 pounds of whatever the fuck it was.
Right. And the funny part is like, we've all been, regardless of it being a relationship, but you've all been in that moment where you need to get away from somebody and you can't, and you look to your friends for a lifeline and they're all like, peace out, pal, which is exactly what happens there. So I just felt that was such a human moment for him that I was just like, it's so funny. And he has a lot of great moments. Obviously we all love him, but that one to me, just, it made me feel like for as old as he's playing, he was very young at heart at that moment.
Yeah, he was excellent, and he was also excellent in Last Night Gus too. Just the whole thing, it was a good Henry season. How about you, Jacob?
It was a great Henry season. A big fan of him this year. Maybe his best actually, but maybe season 7 has a lot left to be discovered. I'll make it simple. Him agreeing to let Sean go into the mental hospital, I think is a great scene. Just when they turn to him, and he has that shit eating grin on his face, where he's going to enjoy this one. Because remember, Sean sent him undercover into a nursing home.
Oh, right, this right.
Really, maybe his way of getting back at him.
Well, that's a good way to think of it. Yeah, yeah.
Talmadge
yeah.
And Gulliger.
Oh, my God. That was
a really great, it here.
Great name. But you know, he's just, the gears are turning the second you look at him. That's why Sean is a lot like him. The gears are always turning up there. And it's just great because, you know, Lassiter and Juliet are both against it for way different reasons. Mm-hmm. But Henry's like, no, I think this is going to be perfect.
Let's make it 72 hours.
He sends Gus in there and he's like, are you giving us security? Now we were thinking something a little different.
Suggs, it's like Gus backwards.
Yeah. No, but a great, terrific Henry season. Like I wrote, a lot of contenders here, but I think that was my choice.
And then how about you, William?
So I had him just pantsless at the hotel. When he wakes up, he's like, Sean, I think I ordered up a lady of the night. And then when he's tucking, and it comes back, I guess, in the last episode too.
Yeah.
When he's tucking his pants into the towel, that's just such a great visual bit. Like, it's, oh, Juliet, like, it's, come alone,
Sean. Like, Sean, help me some, call me some help, help on the case.
Yeah. I also love when he's like, we came here to celebrate Jim. Who the hell's Jim?
Oh man, yeah, Henry had a good season. That is for damn sure. All right, so the Gus Don't Be A, this is the lamest moment award. I just put it in for a penny. I really fucking hate this episode. But a close runner up was Indiana Sean and the Temple of the Kind of Crappy Rusty Old Dagger. I liked that episode for about 2/3 of it, and then the end just absolutely shit the bed. And that was one of the lamest, dumbest ways for the laziest ways they've ever ended an episode. But I just did not like In for a Penny, and I just said fuck it. The whole episode's getting the award.
Well,
yeah.
Let me bounce off that for a quick second, because mine also relates to that episode, and it is the most shameless product placement I've ever seen in this show for sure. The autotrader.com.
Oh, I love it.
Oh my God, man. Come on. Autotrader.com. You basically have William Shatner staring into the camera saying autotrader.com. First of all, he is a pitch man. He's been in several commercials. And you have Dulé Hill, who just follows, Gus, who follows up with, they've got plenty of affordable cars. I'm like, are you serious?
Okay. I actually like that, because it was the only benefit of having him. I thought it was the only bit of comedy from him in the show.
You are, you know the meme with the guy with the pickaxe where he has the diamonds like 3 inches away and he stops digging. On the other side is the Wayne's World bit about product placement.
Yeah.
And they just stopped right there. They went a little bit more in on it. I would have been in on it.
Yeah.
But it was just too clear for me. It's just that close to a Wayne's World deal, but it was just wait. It was on the borderline of just how shameless you can get when it was being, you know, obvious. So that for me, also really the whole episode, the episode sucks.
It's not only my voice, but it's the voice of a new generation.
You're right. It's almost like people do things to get paid. It's really sad.
I'll pay me, I'll do anything. I'm just throwing it out there right now. How about you, Nestle? What were some of your lame moments?
I just hated the entire episode of the commune and the fucking cult. Mm-hmm. Like, there's certain parts in here. It's just the whole thing across the board to me was just kind of, I thought that was a lazy one where it was just like, oh, we got to go back in the car and help her. It's just like, okay, that part to me was really lazy writing. And I just felt like I love when they take themselves out of certain situations and like when we're out of the police station and we're on location doing fun things, because I think that's when they can really, you know, flex their creative muscles. And they were on a commune here and they could have had a lot of great stuff. And I think they just fell short every single time. And I just felt like Gus, for everything that Doc said earlier about his potential growth, obviously we're joking about the candy, but like the fact that they, like, to me, this was his biggest point in like falling for a girl. And then that should have snapped them out of it. You know what I mean? They did snap out at the end, but it just felt like he's going to continue that. You can't go higher than that in terms of like
too much, I thought.
Yeah. And I think, and honestly, just from a best friend standpoint, excuse me, if you're one of my friends, right, and you're doing that, wouldn't I have already pulled you out like earlier and be like, talk to you? I just felt like Sean, it didn't go with either character, and it just took me completely out of the episode. And then that gourd scene, which I just, they pull out the gourd and they're talking, I'm just like, this is the stupidest thing. Like, I get it, but it's the stupidest thing to give somebody. And like, I would have rather the older lady have more of a role
in
hook it up with Sean and like, oh, you know, those are community drawers, like all that shit. Like
bloomers.
Like that to me was funnier, but it wasn't enough to make it a strong episode.
Yeah. The only reason the episode wasn't dead last is when they fight with the townie people, like Footloose. Like that scene is the thing that kept it from being like dead last.
I will say this too. The gourd scene's terrible, but I did get a chuckle when he takes the gourd back and he says, okay, maybe when we get 2 gourds, we can figure that out.
I did love when Lassie stormed in there and just went on a rant on hippies. Right. That was a good Lassie moment. But yeah, this was bottom 5, episode for me as well. How about you, Billy?
Basically the Pierre Despero episode, because it's kind of Jake did, I think, facetiously almost reference. The other 2 episodes are great. They're great episodes. Mm-hmm. I love them. And he does make a strong return in the season 8 premiere, which is a great episode. But this one doesn't do it for me.
And they just fucked up the ending, man. It was so lazy.
Even, like, there's like some good moments. Like, I do like the Indie. Like, I'm a sucker for anything Indiana Jones, but it just doesn't have the same appeal as the other ones. Sean dealing with death wasn't great. There's some funny moments, but overall, like, the funny moments, like, knocked it up higher, but, like, the overall storytelling I didn't enjoy.
Yeah, I hard agree on that. So, you know, that's right.
Nestle ranked it kind of high.
I did, because I'm an Indiana Jones freak and I love that shit. So it harkens mm-hmm. back to me. I'll forgive the ending because I thought like 2/3 of it, like Doc said, was great. But I am curious to the three of you. I'll throw this question out very quickly. If you thought that episode sucked, right, what would you have wanted that back third to look like that would have, you know, satiated you as a fan?
Well, I think I talked about it on the show. I think the problem was is that it was – well, it was lazy and it was rushed. Like, there was just too many, like, this was very untypical or, you know, for a psych episode where they just sort of like, there was either too many loose ends or there was a lot of things that were really convenient. Like the whole thing with the key in the bench, and then it opens up. Despero somehow got in there beforehand, was able to put the note in there. She comes down by herself without her henchmen. Like, there was, like, simple things like that, you know. So I felt like, you know, the first 2/3 of the episode, okay, they're building on something here. Like, they're taking us down a really good path. And it was like, oh, shit, we got to wrap this up. And they just sort of just did this quick, and, you know, the hidden art collection with the, you know, with the Rembrandt in there. Like, they could have found a way to maybe cut some of the some of the other stuff out, so they could have expanded on that whole cat and mouse like
aspect of it. Yeah, I just thought it was loose because, you know, there's like a few things about like when you write a story, like if $20 can solve your problem, it's not a problem. If a phone call these days can solve your problem, it's not a problem. Like the Adventures in Babysitting movie in 2022 would have to be way more creative than it was in the 1980s, because if they break down in the middle of the nowhere, you're probably fine, right? So, like, I just thought, to Doc's point, there was a lot of, like, little things that I was like, well, that could be, like, she should have people with. Like, there's a lot of, like, things that I was just like, I'm not buying this.
Yeah, and what was it? Was it season 2, the episode with the fucking pennies and Uncle Jack? They tried to do National Treasure, and they didn't quite nail that one either.
I hate that episode.
Yeah, right. So I think, like, they took two cracks at sort of trying to do this Indiana Jones / National Treasure type story. And
this does have You Want to Bumble with the Bee and the best wrestling that they've done in any episode, right? Oh, yeah. They got a body double for Gus when he's doing like the pile driver move to Sean.
Right. Oh, actually, one quick note. The only part of last night, Gus, that I do not like is when they jump off the balcony. It is so laughably not them. God.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Their special effects. Bit.
It really
their
is.
Green screen special effects are brutal, but I love it. Right.
And also, Amazon always has the wrong thumbnail for the episodes, because that's the thumbnail for Santa Barbara Town.
That's not right, obviously. unless you're capturing it from the intro, then it's not right.
Yeah, that probably was it.
Yeah. Probably. So let's move on to the, you know, that's right. Favorite character award. I think we're all in agreement, but Nestle, I want to start with you because you took a variation of this character as your favorite.
When I saw you guys writing, I was like, okay, we're all going to say Sean. He's the main character. But when I was really thinking about it hard, and I thought about like, let's do Wop It Again. Like the fact that he's iPad Sean and they throw in a line like, oh, you're more helpful than normal. Like, you should say this way. Like, to me, that was so funny because I just feel like, and seeing him kind of like hold me up, like, the fact that he had to, like, you know, do this whole thing to show what was going on, and like he was still himself, but I think being inside of a case actually made him like more annoying and more like it exacerbated all the bad qualities of Sean being a child. And I just it's one of those things where you take a character and you kind of turn it on its side. That to me is always a really interesting and creative way to do something. So that's why, like, you know, and he's in a hospital bed, right? Sitting next to the, you know, to the deacon or whatever, and it's just like, how are you going to do that, right? How are you going to make it interesting? And they use technology in an interesting way. So that's why I thought it was really hilarious.
Yeah. And I love the whole, you were barely poisoned, Sean.
No, that's the other one.
No, that's, what was it?
No. That's the one where the chivalry isn't dead, but somebody else is. Why is everybody
don't test me
on that episode?
Yeah.
Episode 50 times.
Yeah, because what did he say? He wasn't going to pay for more than like 24 hours of anesthesia or something like that. Oh, yeah. We lost Jacob. He'll be back. So I think the rest of us, we all had Sean, but I gave real strong consideration to Lassie. I thought this was a really strong Lassie season, you know, because there was moments. I mean, I love he railed against hippies multiple times this season, and I absolutely fucking love that. It was you know, but then you know, just he was real snarky. He wasn't like
this episode sucks. It's a tour de force Lassie episode.
Yeah,
when he's hooking up with Margo, that's when he has the not spats, but the military device that keeps his shirt tucked tight throughout the day.
A military issue. They keep my shirt tucked in.
What is it? Contrary to popular opinion, I don't get this kind of action every day.
Yeah, I thought he was really great. Henry was really great this season too. But Sean, I mean, there's just so many classic Sean moments that we could all just think of off the top of our head. That tie, you know, directly to this season. I think he was, you know, very easily the unanimous winner of this award.
Oh, 100%. I mean, it's weird. Like, I was going to ask all of you, like, we all have co-hosts, right? Joe, you have a second co-host. Like, which one of you is the Sean of your group? Which one of you is the Gus of your group? And I would like to think I'm the cool parts of both Sean and Gus, but I think I'm the lame parts of both Sean and Gus, which is fine. I'm fine with that because they're all hilarious. But like his one-liners, his delivery, like the way he can do him and Gus, but like this is probably the strongest point of the show. The way they can both do the absurd lines and have it fit in the universe. Like when he does he throws the fucking trash barrel at the wall or the window, and he does the just because you put syrup on something. It's over the top. It's crazy. But it's, like, not out of the realm of what you normally see. And that, to me, is what makes this show so great, is they can – and, like, the same thing with, like, Community when they do the crazy stuff, when they do these ridiculous, like, homages. It all just fits and feels normal with the way that they – always act in this. And I've always said Sean and Gus are the best like friendship on TV, but like they're also the best at doing the absurd in their universe and making me feel like it doesn't feel different.
Yeah. William, you gotta pull
he's back.
Jacob back in. Yeah, Nestle is 100% the Gus of the Jobber Knocker.
Oh, absolutely. 100%. There's no denying that when you listen to the Jobber Knocker, I have been told I am universally panned. Like everybody across the board wants to boo me. Everybody wants to hate on me. And that's fine because honestly, JC he hates when I give him compliments, but he is a stud in every set. The way that kid can argue is just bar none one of the best debaters I've ever. He's a master debater. He really is. Like no joke aside, that dude can just go. So I am the lame guy. I mean, I wear these like this. I mean, I've worn you told me at my suit pads and my, you know, like I got shoulder pads in my suits. I'm willing to be, you know, the guy that is the joke, right? Like Gus will always fall in love and love candy and do stupid shit and not be funny sometimes. So that's me, right? So I'm Gus.
You know what you are, Nestle, and you embrace it. And that's what makes you special.
Yeah. Right, hit Jacob real quick to your top three favorite moments. I'll go last because I gotta take a belly.
Oh, yeah.
he does have a bitch bladder for sure.
Oh, you should have seen him on the flight to Myrtle Beach. It said took a 2-hour flight. I think he peed like 6 times.
I want to have that checked out.
Right. Prostate the size of a cantaloupe.
So I'll run through mine. The a cappella intro, I will never not list it if it's on the show, which is only twice, but it is, I think, by far the best intro they do. and it gets me every single time. I wish there was a full length version of it. I would have it on my running playlist. It's wonderful. The engagement ring reveal is great, not only because, like I said, it's in a Nintendo DS, which I have a lot of respect for. I think it's a great hiding spot. My wife would certainly ever look there. So it's certainly the best place to put it. But also Gus's reaction that trails into the next episode. He feels so betrayed. And I think that is the only thing that knocks Sean's growth back in this season, is that he doesn't feel comfortable telling Gus about it. And it kind of fractures their relationship a little bit, but he obviously gets over it. And he does make good. I mean, spoiler for the people who haven't seen it yet. I don't know if am I allowed to spoil things, Doc?
Yeah, it's been 14 years.
Fair. spoiler, he does make good on the promise that when he proposes Juliet, he wants Gus on the other side. So
yeah,
he eventually does make good on that promise. And the number one is the morning after scene in Last Night Gus.
Yeah,
I mean, that is the if you want a microcosm of if you're trying to show somebody what Psych is about, I think that is a pretty good beginning. If you have those 3 or 4 minutes, it's a really good indicator of what character, what each character's like. Lassie, I mean, I think we could debate the physics and the mechanics of Lassie pulling a waterlogged pistol out of a fish tank and just knowing it's 3 bullets short.
It's 3 bullets short. It's been
fine. But and also, I don't think the residue would still be on the gun or just sitting in the fish tank for 7 or 8 hours. But whatever, it's fine. It's one of the greatest scenes in the show of the season. So, and then one of the best episodes of the show. So those are my top three.
How about you, Nessel?
So in no particular order, I'll go off of what Jacob said about the waking up last night, Gus, because that, again, just the peaches line, like, why are you wearing, those aren't your sandals. You don't wear sandals. Like, every little aspect that Jacob kind of hit on makes perfect sense in that it's a microcosm of the characters, but also they took something like The Hangover, which was widely successful, you know, and then they made it their own. They didn't really go into, you know, like, gags in that aspect of that. They did their own kind of thing a lot of the times, which I can certainly appreciate. But like I said, Woody just like ties that entire scene together. Just it because everybody freaks out, but there's always that one person who's not freaking out and kind of like being more themselves. And Woody kind of like really leans into it. And that cracks me up. And then two more that I'm sure I'm going to get hate for, which is the Despero boat crash. I just thought, I love that because it just felt very James Bondy, very Indiana Jones, very like, it's a gag done 50 billion times, but then it was like, oh, that's his blood and his DNA and the whole thing. And it's like, it was very true to that character, but it was still a surprise to me because I just didn't know if they had the time in the episode to do it. So that was pretty cool. And then this is just a jobber kind of thing for me. Like Danny Glover, I fucking love Danny Glover in anything. Like Lethal Weapon, that's my boy. And then of course Saw movies and stuff, as well as other little things here and there. But the way he plays that role, and like Sean's just sitting there with a big giant, you know, gum wad chewing. He's like, it's probably a bad time for me to talk about, you know, batting, you know, next, or, you know, and I love the bench clearing brawl with everybody fucking each other's wives. Like, I just think that's hilarious. And then, but the other part of that entire thing is after that is the scene in the locker room where they're all just kind of like miffed at each other. And, you know, Sean's doing the like, yeah, with Danny Glover behind him. And then Wade Boggs comes in. Yeah. Sean, stop it. Wade Boggs, Sean. You know, sorry, Gus. And like they talk about the chicken. Like, was it fried?
Baked or fried.
Right. And he's like, that's impressive. You know, like I love Wade Boggs in general, but like just Wade Boggs plays Wade Boggs. Like that's all he does, but that's enough. It's enough. A national treasure. It's enough. So like, and Gus being impressed by the fried chicken is just, they didn't even make the beers joke until the very end, which I thought that's where they were going to go.
Right.
Which, that's showing creativity.
Yeah. And it was, the fried chicken thing was great. And last week you mistook me for the commish. That's because you were dressed like the commish. You know that on Tuesday nights, Gus and I reenact the commish, right?
Going back to your earlier one, Nessel, Billy, you know all these quotes off the top of your head. What does Sean say when they see the car? It's just a ding. What does he say?
Yes.
It's just like
when it's like some legs hitting it from this angle.
This is the way you're looking at this from this angle. That's what it looks like.
I also love when he's dressed up as the mascot in the Dead Man's Curveball and he walks through and he talks to like the equipment lady. He's like, "You're above Pluto." Like, you're above Pluto. Like, that's one of like the subtle ones. Like, that's fucking great.
One other really quick note about him in the mascot suit. I don't know why it's always stuck in my head. But when he's driving the car and he does the manual turn signal
oh, yeah.
out the window.
That's always a good one.
Oh man, I mean, we could talk about last night. We could have just done last night Gus for this episode and still, you know, filled plenty of time. But any that entire episode, I loved you know, anything with Whip Chatterley, especially the restaurant scene when they're with Singh and they're talking about the plum cake and they're trying the plum that it was so fucking good. Oh, and fruit and dried fruit are not snacks. I've taught Swaggins to quote that line. You know, when Megan brought home some dried apples and she threw them in the snack box and she picked up, she says, "Mom, this is not a snack." So she gets it. And then for me, we haven't talked about this episode a ton, but Sean versus Darth Vader. I love the scene with those two little shit rich kids, those smarmy little fucks, and Gus just wants to knock one of them out because he's saying that the first three movie, the prequels are better than the original ones anyways. Just the Sean and Gus, the interaction with them and the two kids, that fucking cracked me up. Because I wanted to jump in the screen and punch those little fucking kids. They were so fucking obnoxious. So those were some of mine. How about you, Billy?
So Sean on vacation is, you know, I always say there's only two versions of Billy. Everyday Billy and Malibu Billy. But there is a relationship Billy. And he's very close to relationship Sean in this episode. Because I was the person on vacation who would be like, I don't want to make vacation friends. Like, I just don't want to do it. And then, like, when Juliet goes, Sean, they're just people. Those are the worst kind. And I've wound up making vacation friends. And I'm just, like, so like Sean when he just is like, Clive's doing a bit. Yavool. Like, he's just totally, like, oh, we can't share dessert and then go dancing like gentlemen. Or, like, I've used this before on a girl, and that's why I knew it was time to end it. And when I went, like, your facial features are all in the right place. Like, him in that episode is just electric. Like, everything. Like, I don't care if he put a box of his, a picture of his ass on the box of wine. I'd buy that one. Would you buy a wine called Goldberg? No, maybe a spritzer. No, like, right. Like, everything in that episode kills me with him.
Yeah, I forgot about all the good one-liners in that episode.
That's great. And Jason Priestley, shout out too in that episode. He's fantastic. Whip the whole thing, but his intro when he just, you know, introduces himself to Sean and Gus, and even Sean and Gus going back and forth with him. We are pantomime artists from New Guinea. My partner is black, so we have our bases covered. Right. And then the scene in True Grits where he does the Spike Lee moment, like that. Like I've said, the just because you put syrup line on pancakes to other people. And it's one of the few times like I'll get like a, where did you get that? Like, because you didn't come up with that. Like that moment. And I forgot because I don't watch that episode often. I forgot it was in that fucking episode. It's so good.
Oh, that's tremendous. Yeah. So good. So with that said, we're going to wrap things up here, Billy. I'll let you sort of you handle this one. How do they rank? Boom, right. Boom, this is what everyone's been clamoring for.
Muffins.
Yeah, muffins.
So I always feel like when anybody does a top 20 list, spend too much time on like the late ones. But like we've already covered kind of like the top ones. We'll go through them, say a quick word quickly about all of them. So actually now talking about these, I think we nailed it. I think you could put the last three in any order, but the least of the least here, number 16, the amazing Psych Man and Tap Man, or whatever the hell that episode's called, 52 points. So like we do it by like the lowest, it's like golf, like the lowest score wins. So that had 52 points. The number one episode had 6. So that just tells you where this ranks. So I agree with Jacob. Like the guest star was pretty good. Just overall, there were some funny moments. I didn't love it.
Also, yeah. three quick hitters. First of all, I have a journalism degree, so seeing a journalist kick ass, love it. Hmm? So I'll take that. Second of all, comic book opening, pretty good.
Hmm? I did like the opening, yes.
Third of all, I almost forgot the other good. Oh, I'm sorry. This is a bad thing. This is false advertising. It's called The Amazing Psych Man and Tap Man. He's called The Catch, not The Amazing Psych Man.
I also think, I forget, is this the one where we get, no, it's not the one where we get the Accidentes. I think that's a different episode.
That's one of my favorite episodes. This episode is just, it's not great.
Yeah, big man. Yeah.
I think I had this ranked 15 out of 16, right? And it's right where it should be. You know, these two, you know, could the 15, 16 here could flip-flop easily. But yeah, I did love the open. Yeah, were there some funny lines in there? Yeah, but overall, it was just lame as shit. What do we got next?
15 in for a penny. Yep. We kind of all hated this episode. There's some good moments, like the dude from Brooklyn Nine-Nine and The Good Place doing the coin bit. That always kills me. Maybe just a different dime. But overall, terrible.
Also, I will say, I believe he plays the Saperstein's lawyer in Parks and Rec as well.
Oh, yes.
And he is phenomenal.
He's fantastic. He's
really, really good. He's really
he's like the best modern day complete deadpan actor.
Also, forgive me, I ranked this one way too high, but you guys did a great job of correcting me. So, yeah, excellent. Yeah, I mean, this is not great. William Shatner, maybe one of the reverse Mount Rushmores, the bizarre around Mount Rushmore of guest stars on Psych, just one of the worst. Mm-hmm. It's just so clear he's phoning it in. And I'll just blame him for the Auto Trader ad. I won't blame Gus, even though he took part in it. but yeah, not good.
Speaking of Gus, number 14 in the Tao, whatever it is, of Gus. Nestle, you hated this one.
No, I absolutely hated this one. This was my 16, I think. I cannot say how much this sucked. Like, I've watched a lot, obviously, of television over the years, and this to me was so unlike the rest of these episodes, in my opinion, that, again, like I said, on location, everything lined up. Like, they could have done this so well. And this was a giant fumble, not like a fumble at the 1 yard line. This was like they got the fucking punt return and they dropped it at the beginning. And I couldn't enjoy it at all.
Yeah, this I think I had this one 12, right? So it was my bottom five. And I think really like where this is and you know, like from 11 on down here, you could kind of just put these in any order. And I think that's exactly where they belong. But again, this one I thought had some funny moments that saved it a bit for me. The overall story, right? It was saved, you know, Community Bloomers, Lassie in this episode. But Gus really annoyed the shit out of me in this episode. I remember that. I think this is right where it belongs.
Yeah, he was too much. Number 13, Indiana Sean and the Temple of Whatever, Rusty Dagger. That got 49 points. It didn't cash in on what it could have cashed in on.
Yeah, 100%.
Moving on, True Grits. This one was probably the best upon rewatch from remembering from what it was. We've touched on this a bunch. Anthony Anderson. Hammer and Gus, though. Shout out Hammer and Gus.
yeah.
Like, that bit was great.
He's holding the little hammer with the butterflies or whatever the fuck it was on the handle.
Your grandmother's hammer.
Yeah, I bought something like that for Violet, right? So it's just. but again, this is right where I had it, right? So, yeah.
Number 11, my favorite number. Let's do up again. Mainly anytime I get to see Sean do the quarter black bit. Like, I know everybody here is a fan of things that don't make sense. So the fact that there's three black guys and one white guy and they're called a quarter black. It's enjoyable.
It's like we're all little Randall Cunningham's.
And my favorite player of all time. Because I think that was a Kel line, or no, Keenan line. What's his name?
Keenan and Kel, yeah. But also the end of that, though, really, like the prison break performance afterwards, like that's very underrated while everybody's just there. And then, you know, Lassie's just there with Margot. Like that to me was just like a nice little tie on the bow, you know, at the end of it all. So I just thought that was wonderful.
And that was Mekhi Phifer in this episode,
yes,
right?
Yes.
Yeah. He did have a couple of lines. Overall, he drove me fucking bananas in this episode.
You can't have that many references left, can he?
Oh, yeah, right. That was one of them.
Was he in Julia Stiles? What was that? The dance.
Oh, save the last.
That's it. That's like his claim to fame.
He was an 8 Mile character in Save the Last Dance, but I think he was in there.
An 8 Mile. He was a dude with the dreads. That's about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, he was. Yeah, he was like the.
He was Dr. Dre, isn't it? Yeah. I don't know. Like, you know.
He was like Eminem's like dude. Yeah. Number 10, I thought this was going to be a lot higher for everybody.
Yeah,
we all had it kind of like at the same exact spot, so I think that's why I put it here. Sean rescues Darth Vader. This has some good moments. Like, anytime you can work in diplomatic immunity into an episode of anything.
Diplomatic immunity.
I mean, I just think the bit with the lie detector is basically perfect. I mean, Sean just expert bullshitter. I mean, that picture of him on the stairs is just so clearly him. And the fact he explains it away is just, it's magnificent.
The one thing I'll say, and they hammered it a lot in this episode, and I thought at the time, you know, watching this season, you know, live, would have been, they would have leaned in more to the Sean almost getting outed as being a fraud.
Yeah.
And I thought we would have gotten a lot more of that throughout the season, because we'd gotten some bits of it in earlier seasons. And I go, oh shit, is this going to be, you know, and obviously they had different plans for that, you know, which we'll get to it in next season. But because I like that throughout the season, because it's like everyone is pretty much like almost there. Like they all kind of know Sean is a fucking fraud, but they can't quite pin it down, and they get oh so close and they don't. And I thought that would have been like a really good sort of like overreaching arc, you know, throughout the season. You know, you kind of have it here and there, and I thought they would have played that up a little bit more because they did such a great job with it in this episode. But yeah, I love that. I loved him in the kids' room playing all the fucking games and open up the kids' fridge and drinking his fucking
suck it dots.
Yeah. The little football game there. I had this. I think I had this like ranked 7th. So, I mean, it's in the ballpark of where
everybody had it, like 7, 8, or 9, something in that area. Yeah. Sean interrupted number 9. Lisa, where's Lisa? There's some great moments in this one.
The character he falls in love with? Frank.
Frank.
Frank's got quite the set on her.
Check out Mr. Skin. She's on there. It's good. It's good. Good view. Number 8, Sean and the real girl, the girl of the bear. So you think you can dance like the fake reality shows in that one?
Oh, we didn't even bring up the Miz was in it.
Yes. Yeah, I know. Mm-hmm. And he was great. Yeah.
He was great, but that's just
there's a lot of wrestling cameos in this show.
Yeah, but I was just thinking to myself, like, characters welcome, right? And then like there's the Miz, and I kept thinking to myself, the Miz couldn't make me excited about this episode, so I just wanted to make sure I threw that out there.
two quick hitters on this episode. First of all, the guy that plays the suspected killer is Jon Favreau Light, right? Second of all, this was dead last for me, mainly for the reason that I thought the resolution was so bad.
It made
no sense to me. No sense.
There's some good bits in there, though.
There are some good bits, but the resolution was just like, I'd forgotten about it when I rewatched it. I was like, oh, that's way worse than I remember it being.
Yeah, this is fair. Yeah, this is a classic episode. Yeah. This is a classic episode where the humor clearly outshines the plot. But I thought, for me, I had this ranked high because I laughed a good deal throughout, and it sort of, I was able to overlook, like there was a plausibility to the motive. The end thing, it was kind of
meh. Really packed a Speedo and flax bars?
Yeah. But yeah, not a terrible episode. Definitely not the worst one of the season, at least in my mind.
And this was the lowest one that I had that got ranked high. I had it like 11. I think everybody was similar. Dead Man's Curveball. This is a lot better than I actually gave it credit for. This is a good episode.
Yeah, like I said, Sean on speed, right? When he's, you know, sees the birds and then he's like, you know, rattling off the entire the blueberry warranty or whatever, the manual from the car. What's wrong with him? Speed. And then he crashes.
It's because you were dressed like Michael Chiklis.
And then number 6 here, I'll let Nestle and Jacob each have a moment here, because Nestle, you had this one super high. Jacob, you had this one super low. So number 6, here's Lassie. Jacob, you can start.
Oh, perfect. Because I was going to say, this one's just forgettable. Super forgettable. I don't remember a lot of what made it great. It's fine. It's fine. I mean, like I said, even
classic
worst,
Jacob. Classic Jacob.
Yeah, whatever.
You should yell down like the Brady Bunch.
The reason the guys have me on this once a season is because they need somebody with taste to appear. So,
I think you and I are going to be fast friends, Jacob. Because Doc does not like people like that, so it's great.
You know what? Some call me edgy, but
this was your 2.
I just didn't like this one that much. I can see why people would like it. It's not like this is not like In for a Penny, where like if you're defending it, I'm like, I can't do this. But I think the killer is just super lame, and I don't know. I think it's only okay at best.
See, for me, I really like the homages. Like, I love The Shining, and I really love the Ghostbusters. I hope I can actually get out and like have somebody watch my kids so I can go see the new movie. But it's probably not going to happen. I'll have to wait till see it on Amazon or something. But just the way that they meshed The Shining with the Ghostbusters thing. And just like, besides, like, it's very similar to this episode sucks when they get excited about stuff. Like, oh my God, it's a vampire. Oh my God, you have ghosts. You're haunted. You're haunted. Like, they get excited over the supernatural, which is really funny in the juxtaposition of Sean, just because of the psychic nature of it all. And then like the callbacks of The Shining, it's an easy layup for me. And then just like them showing up with the full like Ghostbusters gear with their names on it and the fucking like, you know, we ain't afraid of ghosts and stuff. Yeah, I agree with you, Jacob, that the ending was kind of whatever. But what saves it for me is like we have a joke in our neck of the woods where anybody that ever goes like over the top off to a building, we always tell them they're eliminated from the Rumble, the Royal Rumble. And she fucking just lands on the awning and I just fucking, I die. When anybody ever takes a back body drop off a building, like, you sold me. I'm easy in that aspect of it. So yeah, I that's just the way I felt about it.
Yeah, that bra was crazy, but she sneaky gets it. Right? sneaky gets it. And I love the descent of Lassie too, right? And that whole playing of up of The Shining there. And again, they nail it with the music, and whenever they do suspense on the show, it is always top notch. I enjoyed this one very much, even though Jacob,
and it's shot incredibly well. This is like a step up in production for them.
I will give them that. It was shot very well.
And then number five, my number one, it's the only reason it's up here because everybody else had it like decently high. I think Doc had like three or four. Neil Simon's Lover's Retreat. This is one of my all-time favorites, go-to episodes. It's just got a bunch of good stuff in it. And the ending's pretty good. I love when they're up in the hot air balloon. It's just, slice, slice. What do you want? The Lassie's rap? What do you want? No. The cheese. The cheese. Like, everything in this episode is comical. And I just love the crash cut of, you know, them saying goodbye to Gus with the oh, bye. And then it cuts to the supermarket version of it where he's just shopping.
Yeah.
And like they're all there shopping for like different things. He's got scented candles. Like,
yeah.
Lassie's got the 40 watts. Like, it's great.
All of them. He's
set.
Yeah. All right. What we got next?
Number four. This episode sucks. We didn't talk about this one a lot, but it's got a lot of hilarious stuff. It's got what's his name? Like the bartender.
Corey Feldman.
Yeah, Corey Feldman.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, he was great. And then when he like snaps out of character when he's like being presented, like being like, oh, whoa, Cagney, yeah, slow down. You know, it's just a gig, you know.
And it's also the second Nate Berkus reference we get.
Yes, that's right. Right. Good point. Oh, love that guy, Nate Berkus. Yes.
Love that guy.
No, I was just saying there's one line in there that like there's a lot of good lines, like watching Sean is like almost like Jack the Ripper just doing like a thing was great. But then like the idea of they like totally, I think Lassie says it, he's like, I've built up a resistance to chloroform over the last 15 years. Oh, yeah. And I was just like thinking in my head, that's so Lassie, but then thinking to myself, like, is he the one, like, is he passing out over himself? Like the visual of that never happens. Like jokes like that with the theater of the mind are far funnier than seeing something like you go to Family Guy and it's like, hey, Pete, remember when I did that thing? And then they cut to it. That's stupid. But this makes you laugh over and over again.
Yeah, because exactly. You could picture Lassie in his apartment just on a fucking Friday night, just dousing himself with chloroform. You know, he's gotten like the Iocane powder from Princess Bride, right? And that's great. When he gets busted in, when he's in the throes of passion, is
that McNabb?
The whole thing, Henry,
John,
Henry.
Jules, Henry, and the whole thing. This was
also as a person with hemophilia. Shout out bleeding disorders in this episode.
Mm. Oh, also when the blood spills on him.
On
Gus, and then like
talk about laughably bad CGI.
Yeah, it is laughably bad. But then when he's like about
it's
to
TV.
Smack. Yeah, when he's about to smack Gus, and Gus just like punches him in the gut. And also, I do love the how much blood was it? Wasn't like a ton. It wasn't like the beginning of Carrie, or the end of Carrie. And then number three, we've talked about this one a lot. It's one of the best episodes of the show, and they do a season finale well. They do series well. Santa Barbara Town, 19 points. Yeah, I had this one a little bit higher, a little lower. You should say that anybody, but you guys all had it within your top two or three.
Yeah, I think
it's like the noir. That's basically where the episode is, and it's basically perfect.
It's based on Chinatown, right?
Yeah, it's an homage to Chinatown.
Yeah,
and which I almost watched the other day.
Anybody's ever seen that movie?
Yeah,
Wild.
Oh, wild. Very wild.
I'll tell you a quick story real quick. I remember in science class in high school, legit, no joke, my teacher wanted to do a science experiment in which he just, he showed Chinatown. And he was just like, he's like, I want to see if your blood rate and your pulse go up. And we're like, what the fuck? Like, this guy was probably going outside smoking a fucking joint while this was playing. But I was just, Chinatown is always
specific. More of a social experiment than a science.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, movies absolutely crackers. And I came across it. I can't remember if it was Netflix or whatever it was on, but I almost pulled the trigger and watched it because we were either getting ready to do this particular episode for Santa Barbara Town or we had just done it. But great homage there. And then we've talked about these last two episodes ad nauseum. But which one takes home the cake there, William?
Okay, so number two is Autopsy Turvy. This is one of the best episodes of Psych of all time with Chatterley. Woody is an all-star in this one. We talked about this a bunch, but it really is a classic.
Yeah, and we never even mentioned Kate Mercucci. You know, the girl there with the big eyes.
How's the meats? You tell me,
baloney. It's the third time he does it that really sells it. And last, he's just fucking staring at him. But she was great in the small bit that she had. Like, this was just, again, all-time episode. And then, which leads us to number one, which is, again, for me, a Mount Rushmore, which I believe is an old wooden ship. But Billy, tell the people what number one is.
It is Last Night, Gus. It is one of the all-time great episodes. I was the only one who didn't have it number one. I had it number three behind Autopsy Turvy and Neil Simon's Lumber Retreat. But this one is the best of the best, sir, with honors for the season. I think probably for everybody who watches this season. It's just, like, we call it mixed doubles. Like, they're oddly paired in this one. Everybody's like, we didn't even talk about, like, the Sean and Juliet of it in this episode where he leaves the message.
Yeah.
So, like, there's so much going on in this episode. Bobo, the diner. And, like,
today, Sean is very much a commitment phobe.
Yeah. And people keep coming, like, if you tell me, like, I ran into you last night, I don't want to hear. There's, like, so much in this episode. You forget more about this episode, like, the good parts.
You're the weirdo that licked all the powder off the donut.
Like, a weird little creep.
I've commented ad nauseum about this, so my only remark is, Billy, you might know this. Is this the lowest score any show has gotten on a season end?
Oh, 100, not even close. 100%. Okay,
I was going to say, I thought
so. No one's, I think, like, touched, like, under 8.
Okay, this that's what I thought.
Like, that's what I do. I go around and I bed housewives.
And, like, there's four people voting, so this is, like, impressive.
Yeah. I will say really quickly, too, I think the one thing that we didn't talk about in this episode, and maybe you guys talked about it, and, you know, when you expanded in the episodes you've done previously, but just the idea of Sean not having his powers, quote-unquote. Oh, yeah.
And an eyebrow device.
Right, yeah, it doesn't work. And so, like, that to me is, like, always, like, a fun device to have when, like, you take something out of their element, and then it just adds to everything else.
Yeah. He was, I got Stugatz.
I'm not having flashbacks or recreation flashbacks, but he was like, imagine you are just a plain, bland, ordinary detective, and you can think that you can hand a girl an ice cream cone without giving her the cone. Like, it's great.
That soliloquy is fantastic. And fun little fact, the donut shop guy, right, the little weird-looking dude, was the little kid in Jurassic Park in the beginning.
Right.
Right when he's talking about, you know, the raptor, I don't see why they're so dangerous. And Sam Neill does the whole thing with the claw.
Hold on, I know we're saying Jurassic Park. Was he not Ducky from Full House as well?
Oh, he was.
Right.
Oh, he
that
was.
Duck bill platypus looking motherfucker. Yeah, you're right.
Good call, Jacob.
He is legendary. And this is why I'm getting housewives.
And this is why we're inviting you back for season 7.
You killed Bobo.
No, we did. They pull up the security video.
Also, a low key funny part about that episode is how they have to climb out of the car every time they park.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Everything. Oh, so good. So good. So, with that, folks, that brings our season 6 recap to a conclusion. I want to thank Jacob again for not royally screwing up our rankings this time around, and Nestle for, you know, being somewhat palatable. For an hour and a half. I appreciate
my one parting question, Joe, is what happens first, the season 7 recap or Beyond the Spider-Verse comes out? What do you
think? Beyond Spider-Verse comes out on
Earth. Yeah, seven. We're in a groove now. We got two in a row.
We'll see about that.
And this is why you won't be back for season seven.
You see this. You say this every season that I'm not. You're gonna replace me. It's like the meme that's going around where it's like, you know,
we're one step closer, yeah, right?
You're also two seasons away from the end, so you know
that's true.
And we have to be together to get through season eight because we know it's a bit of a
bumpy road. No. Season eight is great.
All right.
Well, thank you guys very much for coming on. We had a blast. Hope you guys had a blast too. And until next time, guys. Come on, son. Oh, wait, son. Or do I do a wait for it? I forget.
How you do wait for it.
Yeah, wait for it.
Leroy Jenkins.
Frank says hi.
Suck it, Davey.